Oh, hello, and welcome to me, George, the Georgian ghost of Chateau Ghoul. Brian and Brenda, the owners of the chateau, are delighted to welcome you as our guests for an amazing and unique visit, a virtual chateau experience. You will be sent an invitation to join us via the Zoom, and if you want to tune in to yours truly during the experience, then select the French channel on the interpretation setting at the bottom of your screen. Don't worry, the audio description will be in English, bigad, not French. Ou en français, si vous préférez. The virtual experience will be a combination of film and live interaction with Brenda, Brian, other individuals at the chateau, your Zoom hosts, and your fellow audience members. As your virtual experience gets underway, you'll have the pleasure of meeting your hosts for the evening. They may well include a certain gentleman by the name of Rob, a tall male with a beard and spectacles, and a young lady by the name of Amy, who boasts an abundance of dark curls and a bright smile. They may be joined by Brenda, one of the owners of the chateau, and they will explain the procedure for the evening and how to begin your origami activity. It is only then that the truly exploratory experience begins, where you will be whisked away to visit the website of Chateau Ghoul and be fully introduced to castle owners Brenda and Brian. The home page, one of the many terms which has recently entered my parlance, shows a pen and ink drawing of my fine mansion-like abode. The front facade is in pale, creamy stone with pilasters or columns which are scrolled at the top. Three steps lead to the front door, which is painted green. The chateau has two stories with five mullioned windows on the upper floor and four on the ground floor. Above each window is a round arch. At the top of the facade is a triangular pediment with more fancy stonework. Carefully trimmed bay trees stand to the right and left of the steps, with more green foliage to the front sides of the chateau. Surrounding the facade on the home screen is a background of grey, black and purple diamonds, and to the left a list of options, which reads Home, Wi-Fi, Book, Facilities and Virtual Tour. Chateau Ghoul is written out in blood-red letters above the facade. As the home page appears on the screen, a small white arrow, known as a cursor, I believe, moves around by itself as if by magic before pointing to and clicking on Virtual Tour. We first meet the chateau owners in a panelled hallway. From the dado rail downwards, a little higher than waist height, the chateau features oak-panelled walls. Above them is a patterned wallpaper. It's a dull red with repeating diamond pattern. All of the backdrops have the appearance of being drawn by hand. Hanging on the walls here are various of our certificates, all in fancy wooden frames. They include food hygiene rating 3 whole stars, another for British tarmac certificate, and another for best welcome mat 2018. Brian is a thin, middle-aged gentleman with straight grey hair and large green eyes. He sports a dark brown suit with a light check. He has a white shirt and a rather natty tie. He generally moves with a confidence and swagger, as befits the owner of such a fine residence. His chin is held high, a knowing smile on his lips. It could be said that Brian does bear a resemblance to a certain Maggie Fox, whom some of you may have encountered before. Brenda, his good lady, is a petite middle-aged woman with long, silky silver hair and blue eyes. A heavy silver necklace graces her throat, pearls her ears, and her shapely form is clad in a close-fitting wrap-around blue dress with long sleeves, worn with court shoes. Brenda looks up to her husband Brian, who stands a good 8 inches taller. It is fair to remark that she becomes increasingly exasperated by his amateur filmmaking exploits as the shooting. Her body language is contained, often standing with her hands clasped and with an anxious-to-please smile on her rounded face. It could be said that Brenda bears a resemblance to a certain Sue Riding, whom some of you may have encountered before. To the left on our screens is a slight young woman with a mass of gingery curls, dressed highly inappropriately, it would seem to me, when in such grand surroundings, in a striped long-sleeved top. One would think her a convict, and grey dungarees like a workman. She wears several silver necklaces and seems to wave her hands about a good deal. I am reliably informed that she is called Emma and is a British Sign Language interpreter. She's always to be found somewhere in the hallway, in a picture frame, in the basket of a hot air balloon, or standing at one of the several castle windows. I am proud to announce that I make a brief appearance, zoons, wafting through the wall. As you'll hear me announce, I am a veritable fop, bewigged in white curls and dressed in a jacquard weave frock coat of blue and gold, over an embroidered waistcoat with brass buttons and a white frill at my neck to boot. Some people say that I have a certain resemblance to Brenda and to Roger and to Christy and to Bob, or is it Pete, who all appear in the film. You will also encounter Meredith Spector. We suspect that's not her real name. She is a psychic. We first meet Meredith in her room at the castle, in her pale pink dressing gown, hairnet and curlers. Large rings catch the light on her fingers, and she cuddles Trixie, her much-loved pooch. Trixie has soft brown shaggy fur with a darker patch on her back. It could be said that Meredith bears a resemblance in some way to Brian or even to Maggie Fox. Meredith's oak-panelled room is hung with rich velvet drapery of the most regal purple, with matching wallpaper patterned with black diamonds. Later, Meredith is ready for a séance. She sits at the table, which is covered with an orange cloth, clutching her large silver or crystal ball, which looks like something one might have taken from a nearby Christmas tree. Her grey hair is fashioned in curls below her cerise turban. She's furnished with large earrings, black beads, a black fur stole, and a glittery black jacket. Meredith's customer is Roger, who, it could be said, bears a resemblance to Brenda. Roger is a short man with straight grey hair and heavily framed large spectacles. He wears a loudly checked sports jacket over a striped shirt with large cufflinks and a paisley cravat. The Ouija board has a homemade look to it, a circle of plywood with letters roughly painted in black around its circumference. In the centre is a black star with a white dot. As the ethereal spirits close in, a white upside-down heart shape hovers mysteriously around the board, indicating certain letters. Various characters, whom I can only describe as arriving from the epoch of the 1970s, make a brief appearance. They're first glimpsed in upper windows in the facade of the chateau. One is a young woman wearing a peaked light blue cap, looking like a bus driver, with a fitted short-waisted light blue jacket, with floaty, frilly sleeves, far more fitting for my Georgian era. She has matching flared trousers with clumpy heels to boot. Her long blonde hair flicks about as she dances with abandon. The other 70s character is a tall young man with dark hair wearing an orange shirt with wide collar, a wide tie, and also flares and platform boots, a scarf looped around his waist. They dance, waving tartan scarves or thrusting forwards, first with one elbow and then with the other, their hands upon their hips. I am not the only spectre in the chateau, and the identical twins also make an unnerving and sudden appearance in the castle hallways. They are nearly identical, pale-faced young women, their black bobbed hair held in place with clips decorated with white flowers. They wear long, cream-coloured, Victorian smocked and nightgowns with wide collars and ribbons. One appears to be taller than the other. This is Maud, or is it Mavis? We will also encounter interior design guru Christy Bostick at the castle. She is a round-faced young woman, a veritable artist who favours orange, auburn hair, orange scarf tied about her head, burned sienna-coloured caftan-style dress with a white block print, orange lipstick, and gold and amber necklace and earrings. Christy, it has been remarked upon, does bear a certain resemblance to Brenda or even to Sue Riding. Christy works in a room in the castle which has panelled lower walls and a vibrant pattern of orange and green stripes against a yellow background. The view through the window behind her is of green hills, blue sea and sky, and a landscape painting hangs on the wall. In front of her is her table of items ready for her artistic endeavour, her paints and canvas, china cups and saucers, a starter motor and a bicycle wheel. A wicker basket holds a length of sash cord from a window, handy for suspending a chandelier, should the need arise. Another gentleman by the name of Bob, or Pete, is encountered in a surprising location, more of which anon. Bob sports neat black hair. He wears spectacles with metal frames, a checked blue and white shirt with black tie and matching sleeveless pullover. He squints up at us, his hands on his hips. He is, though I say it myself, a rather handsome chap, and has some resemblance to Brenda. Do bear with us sometimes, as we seem to experience technical problems. These are a result of Brian's editing. And I'm afraid to say that as he has edited the film, he has melted the film. So when I refer to the film melting, this will be because of one of Brian's haphazard but well-meaning edits. The whole Chateau Ghoul experience is brought to you by the inimitable and hugely talented combination who are Lip Service, their other nomenclatures being Maggie Fox and Sue Riding. As I mentioned, it has been observed that Maggie Fox bears a certain resemblance to some of the characters we meet, including Brian, Meredith, one of the nearly identical twins, and one of the 70s dancers. It's also been remarked upon that Sue Riding bears a resemblance to Brenda, to Roger, to one of the nearly identical twins, one of the 70s dancers, and to Bob, or is it Pete? And to myself, George, the Georgian ghost. Although, of course, we have slightly different vocal registers. Also involved in creating and bringing the Chateau experience to you at home are the director, Lawrence Till, designer, Alison Heffernan, the composer of the music, Oliver Vibrance, the film editor and responsible for the visual effects, that's Connell Pavey. Additional editing is by Vita Fox. The camera operator is Georgiana Gitu. Technical manager, Rob Athorn. The Zoom administrator, Amy Chandler. The BSL interpretation is by Emma Jane Heap. The audio description is, of course, by myself, that's George the Georgian ghost, also known as Anne Hornsby of Mind's Eye. The tour producer, Rachel Sharman, and evaluation by David Dolan Martin. The Windmills of Your Mind is sung by Noel Harrison, the music by French composer Michel Legrand, English lyrics by Alan and Marilyn Bergman. Thanks go to Salford University Wardrobe Department, to Helena Fox for the triplets voiceover, and to Anne Preston for making my very fine jacquard coat. Lip Service are associate artists at Salford University. They are supported using public funding from Arts Council England, lottery funded. Thank you so much for your time.